So we are in NTI, 1 Corinthians, chapter 8, which in my Kindle is page 295. How about your paperback? 296 for the paperbacks. All right, here we go. NTI, 1 Corinthians, chapter 8. This is exactly what we were just talking about. When you do not seem to know how to become an empty shell, it is because you are focusing on your head, or better said, your thinking mind. Your thinking mind will not teach you how not to think. Your thinking mind is interested in its own survival, so it will take the time you give it to think some more. You guys are laughing, but y'all know it's true, right?
That's why we're laughing.
Yeah. When you notice your mind is full and you want to become as an empty shell, you must refocus your mind from your head to your heart. Your heart will teach your mind the way of release because your heart is love. Now, just before we turned on the recorder, we were talking about the experience that I had this week of ego. And Dave had said something to me about, you know, well, doesn't your heart have to be open? And I said, well, I couldn't even feel my heart this week. If that had been the case, I'd have been screwed. But then I was talking about a feeling that I get in the chest sometimes. Some people call it the open heart chakra. Heart in NTI is synonymous with the word Holy Spirit, which could also be synonymous with the word awareness. And so what this really means is instead of listening to your head, you know, the head would be talking about, you know, change the software, make another decision, buy that, return that, buy this. Instead of listening to all that talk, listen to the wisdom. And remember, I told you that the wisdom was telling me just to watch this ego attack I seem to be going through. And you can hear a major difference just in talking about it. You know, if I was to listen to the head would have been, return this software, buy this software, oh my God, return that software, buy this software, oh my God, you know, do this, oh my God, do that. And you can hear all the spinning, right? And then if you just listen to, just watch. Can you hear the silence? You may not feel silent still, but there's a silence in that. That's not thinking. Thinking is all of the noise, and the just watch has a silence in it. Thinking may still be happening, but somehow you've taken your seat in silence watching the thinking. So it's like you've positioned yourself with the silence, even though your experience could maybe anything but silent, if that makes any sense at all. I believe I've heard Kim Wapnick talk about this, and I think he talks about sitting in the balcony with Jesus watching the film. Yeah, eating popcorn. I thought I remembered that part wrong. See, I thought I was wrong. But yes, eating popcorn. So that's really kind of what we're talking about. So instead of listening to the head and how the head has all these solutions, try this, no, do that, no, call so-and-so, no. Instead of being all caught up there, you learn to somehow sit back and watch without repressing anything, but you're watching it. And that's a position of stillness. That's a position of heart. But depending on how active your ego is, it may not feel good, right? It may not be an emotionally pleasing experience. In fact, what I find is I have to trust then that I am right. I have to trust that I'm right in just watching, because the ego is telling you that even that's wrong, right? You have to be doing something more. Yes, sir? Are you just pointing?
I'm just having a recognition, that's all.
Okay. All right, so let's go on to the next paragraph. Your heart, being of love, knows one purpose, and that is love. Your head, being of thinking, knows many purposes, because that is thinking. Let go of the confusion of the head and focus yourself on the purpose of the heart. Focusing on one purpose leads you clearly in one direction, but focusing on many purposes does not lead you at all. So, you know, many purposes could be, you know, I want to have the best computer I can get. I want to save money. I want this to be done quickly, right? These are many purposes that are all going to conflict with one another. One purpose is I want to heal. I want to know truth, or I want to awaken, depending on how you word that. That's one purpose. And that one purpose, when you choose that, is present not only when you're in the situation with the computer, but when you're in the situation with the family, when you're in the situation with, you know, the money, when you're in the situation with your clothes don't fit anymore because you gained 10 pounds, you know. Whatever situation you're in, where the mind is going to have all kinds of purposes and all kinds of suggestions, the purpose of I want to awaken is consistent. It's one purpose. And so if you stay with that one purpose and you stay with that intuition or that voice that is speaking towards or pointing towards that one purpose, you always have clear direction. You start listening to the mind with its many purposes and you're going to go right back into the spinning.
Well, in fact, any kind of purpose at all, any kind of thinking at all, really, I don't even know how to put this, but...
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit, any kind of thinking at all. There's no point in it, because when you stop paying attention to all those thoughts that are going on in your mind that are saying, do this, do that, go here, go there, I should have done this, I should have done that, what am I going to do next, or all that, all those thoughts are just total distractions. You know what to do. You know what's right. You know what to do. You don't have to judge or imagine or think or wonder or wish or anything. And so when you stop listening to that thinking and just let it just go, let all that stuff just go, and what the right thing to do will be there. You'll walk right up to the computer that is your computer, and you won't have to ask a single question or make a single judgment. You just know that that's it. You knew it was it.
Yeah, I walked right up to it.
You knew what it was, but you didn't trust your own self.
Later I didn't. Yes. But when he was asking the questions, when the salesperson was asking, he was asking me questions. I wasn't asking him. That was his job, was to put me with the right computer, right? So when he was asking his questions and I answered them, and then he said, this is the one, I said, that's the one I walked up to. So in that moment, I actually was feeling pretty good. So, yeah.
Later.
It was later. Later. Okay, let's see. Oh, look at verses 7 to 13. Your mind is willing for distractions because your mind is split. This is why you must focus your mind on the heart and the leadership that is found there. When your mind is focused on the head, it revels in its own distractions and it spins within the joy of its own pain. When your mind is focused on the heart, it recalls its true joy. And in the willingness given through this memory, it lets go of the distractions of the head. So this is very, very interesting and very true, but unless a person is somewhat mature on the spiritual path, they might not see the truth in it. The truth is even when our head is spinning with all kinds of worries and all kinds of fears and we seem to be suffering, we love that. We love that.
Ego loves that.
Yes. But that's why it's not our true joy. Our true joy is the heart, the letting go. And whenever you are able to step out of your head and into your heart and really make yourself at home there again, you recognize how much more you love this. Right? I mean, that's obvious. But to say, you know, we'll say, I don't like this, I don't want to be worried about this, I don't want to, but that's actually not wholly true. There is a wanting for that.
Yeah, there's an extreme identification with that.
Yes.
A link with that, which has a long history, and it feels like so congruent with what you consider yourself to be. It's like, that's me.
Yes.
And even though it feels
awful.
Messed up and awful, that's me, you know, and there's this extreme identification going on.
Yeah, and so that's why this is, in a way, this is a path of finding what you want more. To say I don't want this is not wholly true. It's just that I want this more, right? But there's no way we could even have the experience of being a worried person or a hateful person or a, you know, jealous person if we didn't want it. It couldn't happen.
Self-preservation.
You know, whenever you're jealous, you actually are choosing to be jealous. You know, whenever you're angry, you're choosing to be angry. There has to be a wanting there. But it's not your highest wanting. It's not your most sincere wanting. So you have to find what you really, really want and learn to stay with that. Okay, so in this way, sentence 6, the heart leads you to become an empty shell. In this way, you surrender the experience you do not want, and you welcome the one that you do. And the only way that you can say you don't want it is when you're settled in your heart. Then from that place, you don't want it, right? So you start by finding out what you want more, you settle into that place, and then you no longer want the thing you want less. Just like, you know, if I was to offer you, I don't know, what's two things I could offer you? What's one thing that you like? Chocolate chip cookies. But what do you like more than chocolate chip cookies?
Cheesecake.
So see, if I offer you a chocolate chip cookie, you go, oh, wow, thanks. But then, you know, I say, or you could have cheesecake. You go, oh, never mind, I don't want that cookie. See, you did want it until you saw what you wanted more, right? Then you didn't want it. So that's really what we're talking about here. You have to find that which you want more. And when you find what you want more, then the other thing that you wanted, it loses its value. You no longer want it. Let's see. Well, we'll go ahead and start 9. I don't know if we'll finish it, but it's a little early just to stop right now. So let's go on to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There is a voice within you that claims to be you. This voice does not try to deceive you because this voice does believe it is you. Therefore, all that it whispers into your mind, it whispers in belief that it is true. But the reason that this voice is not truth is because this voice cannot see you. It cannot know you because this voice cannot see you. Therefore, the voice is mistaken. All that it tells you, believing it is true, is based on mistake, and so it is mistaken also. So, you know, if you take reality, which I'll use the word isness, you know, just beingness, existence, right, without any form, right? You take isness, whatever that is, and then you have an idea, and that idea is the beginning of mind. Before that idea, there was no mind. And then there are many, many other ideas, and they become all together, and mind seems pretty firm. Well, mind is only aware of itself. Mind is not aware of that which was before it. It can't see before that first idea. It can't see before itself. So since you are that which was before the first idea, mind can't see you. So when mind says, I know who you are, mind is only talking about itself. And so, you know, if you're a fearful person, someone who's very, very worried, mind sees that, which is all just thought anyway, and it says, yes, this is who you are, and I love you, and I'm going to help you to not be afraid. And it helps you to not be afraid by giving you more things to worry about. That's how it works. You know, so if you can worry about this and get this just right, and worry about this and get this just right, and worry about this and get this just right, you won't be afraid, but it's adding more fear into the picture. So it's not that mind, you know, the Course describes mind as vicious, and we all can see when it can get vicious. But to say that mind is wholly vicious is not completely true. Mind is trying to find an answer. In everything that it does, it is trying to find an answer. It's just that it can't because it's limited to itself. Right? It's limited to itself, and the answer is outside of mind. That's where the truth lies. So mind is just confusion. You know, it's all it is. It's just confusion. And And, you know, the best thing that we can do is to learn to realize that there are never answers in mind, that mind is just confusion, and all listening to mind does is make us feel stressed or depressed or angry or jealous or whatever. And learn to start not taking mind's thoughts seriously, seeing mind as meaningless confusion. Right? So the next paragraph, starting with verses 7 to 12. The voice that thinks it is you has convinced you that it is you also. And so you listen to this voice as if it is you. You are loyal to its thoughts. If this voice tells you that you must defend yourself in this way or that, you defend yourself as it says. For you believe that following the voice is your own defense of yourself. But since the voice is not you, it is not you that you defend in following it. Since the voice is the voice of a mistake about who you are, in listening to the voice, you defend a mistake but believe it is true. So, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you're really stupid, right? And you say, I'm not stupid. I mean, that's really rude of you. I mean, didn't you notice a blah, 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 and you go into whatever you're going to say to defend yourself? You know, you can see how, in a way, mind is trying to help you to be happy. Because right now the thought is, I'm unhappy because I'm being attacked. And mind is saying, well, the way to become happy then is to defend yourself. So it's not like mind is really being mean, right? But in the moment that you're defending yourself, you're convincing yourself that you are mind. So it's just that, and it's not true. And this is why A Course in Miracles says things like, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. Because your safety is in knowing who you are. And so if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you're just really stupid. You know, you may feel some emotions and stuff, but you just say, okay, thank you. And you walk away and you let, you know, whatever's going to arise, arise, and you don't defend yourself. This is how you're starting to step outside of the mind's confusion, outside of the mind's leadership. And the more you step out of the mind's leadership, the more you're going to become aware of that other leadership, which is the intuition, which we call the Holy Spirit. If you continue to listen to the mind as if it's your savior, you may never have a strong sense of listening to the Holy Spirit because the mind is so much louder. It's going to drown out the Holy Spirit every time. So if you think that the mind is your answer and every time the mind speaks, you listen, you may not ever realize that other intuition, or you may only realize it in cases of extreme emergency. Sometimes in cases of extreme emergency, people allow a gap and it comes through. You know, everybody has those stories. But as far as just your everyday life, if you're caught up listening to mind as if it's your friend, it's your helper, it's your savior, you know, you're going to stay in the limited box of mind and you're not going to know yourself. And again, every answer that mind is giving you is keeping you in the suffering. It always gives you one more thing to be worried about. If you're jealous, more jealousy is the answer. If you're worried, more worry is the answer, right? I mean, it gives, because somehow it's telling you that's the way out. It's not the way out. That's the problem.
Now your mind is telling you you're stupid. Your mind is telling you you're
unworthy or whatever.
You made a mistake.
Yes,
you
yes.
The wrong thing.
Yes, yes.
It's your mind telling you.
It's your mind telling you all that.
And you think it's trying to help you.
You do.
I think it's trying to save me. That's why I said that self-preservation. It's trying to you're trying to preserve yourself. So you listen to your own thinking. And who was it that said, if someone else talked to me the way I talk to myself, I'd kick them out.
Yeah, it was the untethered soul, Michael Singer.
Yeah,
Michael Singer. So, all right. So, verses 13 to 14, to listen to this voice and do as it says is to defend that you are what you are not. To listen to this voice and do as it says is to choose to remain blinded to your truth. Listen to me. You are not what you think you are. You are not the image that you defend as yourself. This is why I ask you to become a willing empty shell. A willing empty shell has chosen to put aside listening to the voice that has filled it. A willing empty shell has chosen to let go of beliefs it has taken as it has listened to this mistaken voice. A willing empty shell has decided to clear itself of all mistakes and every grain that has been based on mistake, that it may be open and clear to receive the fullness of its truth. So, you know, like a belief that might come into the mind as you listen to the mind, you know, because it generates more mind, right? So a belief that comes into the mind as you listen to mind might be, you got to stand up for number one. If you don't stand up for number one, you know, you're a doormat. Everybody's going to take advantage of you, right? So, you know, that's a belief that the mind then gives you, and then you adopt it, and now you have this righteous attitude that you got to stand up for number one. This is saying every belief that mind has generated, telling you it's in your own best interest, you need to let go of, or you'll never know your own best interest. That's what this is saying. And so what it really wants us to do is it wants us to learn to take that observer role that I was talking about before I turned the recorder on. It's not asking you to make mind stop talking. It's asking you not to listen to it or not to follow it. Not to listen to it doesn't mean you won't hear it. It means you aren't obeying it, right? You're not obeying it. So mind says, you know, tell her to shut up, right? Tell her to shut up. Tell her to shut up. And you don't tell her to shut up. Why? Because you're choosing not to listen to mind. Because you want to be free of that confusion so that you can realize yourself, so that you can hear your own true voice, your intuition better. And you know that the more you listen to that mind, which says it's helping you, says it's your savior, but the more you listen to that mind, the more you're clouding over your true self and the intuition that speaks for that true self. So you start making a conscious choice out of desire not to obey mind. And again, the example I always give, so I've given it to you all a million times, is the example of Revolver. But he did such a great job of not listening to his mind in that movie when he was at the bed, the foot of the bed, and his enemy is laying in the bed, and he has been sent there by guidance to apologize to his enemy, not for the purpose of apologizing, but because two of his greatest fears, one was having no money, which he'd already given the money away. The other was being humiliated. He had a lot of pride. He did not want to be humiliated. So his guidance sent him in there to apologize to his enemy and to say to his enemy, you know, you are a better man than I, so that he could experience that humiliation, allow that humiliation to rise, and then to be healed. This is what his guidance did. So meanwhile, he's in there at the foot of the bed, he's doing everything his guidance is asking him to do, and the ego starts raging. I mean, as loud as an ego can rage, and starts telling him, kill him, kill him, you know, my God, you know, and just starts screaming at him. And he hears it, but he doesn't listen. He gets down on his knees, and he says to his enemy, you know, I'm sorry, you're a better man than I. You know, so it's some people think that you shouldn't hear the ego. Probably when the ego is, you know, on its greatest rants, there's not anything you could do to not hear that thing. That's like trying to not hear somebody screaming right in your ear. You know, you can hear it, but you don't listen to it. You don't follow it. You don't obey it. And it's a conscious choice. And this is how the ego starts to be undone, because the ego is literally fed by our paying attention to it, by our believing it, and by our listening to it. So when you start choosing not to, you're reversing that. You guys are all very quiet tonight. Okay, verses...
Watching the master.
Verses 19 to 23. Clear the thoughts that are in your mind by being willing to let go of all of them. Do not fear that some thoughts are true, and upon your own judgment must be held on to. For the one who judges is the mistaken voice. Therefore, let go of everything, that you may be free of it all. Maintain only the casing, which is trust. When you have emptied, holding on to nothing but your trust, you shall be filled again, and nothing that is true shall be lost. Now, this again is where ego attempts to be very, very helpful. Even when, you know, we're trying to let go of ego, ego will agree with you. Yep, let go of that thought. Yep, let go of that thought. Yep, let go of that thought. But you should hold on to this little bitty thought that you better watch these technical guys because they might screw up your computer. You know, that thought, that's a true thought. You better hold on to that one. Let go of everything else. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about, but keep your eye on those guys. Be suspicious, right? And so you have to watch for the one little thought that ego wants you to hold on to. Because that one little thought is just its way back into your mind later. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus was in the desert for his 40 days and 40 nights on the Mount of Temptation. And the devil came in and tempted him 3 times. And, you know, Jesus passed with flying colors, right? He didn't listen to the devil once. But then if you read that section, at least the way the story is told in Luke, if you read that section very closely, it says, "And then the devil withdrew to return at a more opportune time." Right? And so this is what the ego wants to do. It wants to leave you with a thought that you'll hold on to, which is the beginning of the next ego attack, the beginning of the next big ego story, right? So you want to let go of everything, and the only way that I know to let go of everything, which is what's said here, is to trust. And it's not that you're trusting something specific. Like you're not trusting that when you get the Mac, everything's going to work, you know, just the way you need it to. You're just trusting that all is well regardless. It's just a generic trust. That's the only thought that, at least in NTI, it's the only thought we're asked to hold on to is trust. Let go of everything else. So I guess we are going to finish this. We only have one paragraph left. Verses 24 to 27. Give it your all. Give all of your thought and all of your action to the purpose of emptying your shell fully. This is how you will know your reward, which is the truth of who you are. Your truth is more beautiful and more precious to you than you imagine now. Let go of all fear that says it is not. Give everything to emptying your shell. In this way, you give everything to you. Amen. And what that's really asking for is a full commitment, you know, to wanting to heal. And again, just based on my own limited experience, I don't know how it could be done without a full commitment. Whenever the commitment is partial, ego's gonna, you know, somewhere stay. It has to be a full commitment in order to really, really get results as far as I know. Yeah, at least on this particular path. So that's the end of NTI 1 Corinthians 8 and NTI 1 Corinthians 9. And now what we need is an assignment. Okay, I have an assignment. This is, I think, a good one. And by a good one, I think what that means is I think we all have the opportunity to observe it this week. I think probably every one of us will get an example. Be willing to notice, and therefore you might, be willing to notice, to catch yourself listening to the mind because you think it's your wisdom. Because you think what it's saying to you is going to help you. It's providing your way out of some hell. Try to just notice that. Just catch yourself, you know, without judgment, of course. Catch yourself and say, "Ah, oh, there I go again. I'm listening to mine because I still think it's my savior." And in fact, the more we catch ourselves doing that, the more helpful that's going to be to someday not doing that. Because your awareness, just your seeing it, is the beginning of the end of that habit. So try to catch yourself believing that your mind is providing you a means to happiness. It has your answers. And with that, I'll stop the recorder and we can have some silence.